Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Pastor John Larson of Ascension Lutheran Church in Littleton, Colorado. Pastor Larson, welcome to His Time.
Well, good morning, and thank you.
Thanks for being our guest, starting your morning nice and early with us in Littleton, Colorado. Looking forward to studying God's Word together. Tell me about Ascension Lutheran Church in Littleton, Colorado.
Well, Ascension is a congregation in the southwest suburbs of Denver. The congregation's been around for a little over 60 years, and we have about 650 folks that call this place their place. A delightful place to be and serve. Many good things are happening here.
Well, thanks be to God that you're there proclaiming the good news of Jesus. We are in Matthew chapter 15 today. What would you like for us to know before we study verses 1 through 20 today, Pastor?
Well, as I look at this entire text, it seems that Jesus wants people to think about matters that really matter. There are so many things that are secondary things that are minor, and we get all influenced on them, and we forget the heart of the matter. So I believe that what he does is he confronts them. He makes things rather uneasy for them because he wants them to ask some questions about, well, what is this whole essence of life? What are the things that really matter? And so he asked them to evaluate, and he's asking them to think differently and live differently.
All right. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. We're studying with Pastor John Larson of Ascension Lutheran Church in Littleton, Colorado. Listener lines are open this morning. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email. 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727 or the email address kfuo@kfuo.org. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat." Goodness. Pastor?
Yeah.
Tell me about this. The Pharisees and the scribes are concerned that Jesus' disciples break the traditions of the elders. They don't wash their hands when they eat.
Well, you know, when I hear that, I hear my mother talking about, before you come down and have the meal, you have to wash your hands, which of course, is good with hygiene. That's a wonderful thing, but this wasn't a hygiene issue. This was simply washing your hands the right way, having the water run down the elbows in the proper way, and those externals then allowed them to be clean and the food then to be properly received. And so it was all things on the outside. I mean, when he gets to that quotation from Isaiah, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me," that's what he addresses. He never actually answers their question, "Why don't your disciples wash their hands?" He rather asks them a question about not doing what they need to do. First of all, of course, in regards to their father and mother. They dedicated a gift. They said, well, I don't need to keep the fourth commandment. I don't need to provide for my parents because I'm providing for God. And so they skipped one thing in order to, I guess, really not do what God commands.
He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So this, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?
Yeah, their traditions became central. They even had a word that said, if you had a little bit of water, and if you were in prison and you had enough water to sustain your life or to wash your hands, it would be better to die of thirst than to have unwashed hands.
Hmm.
Their whole thought was on things that, well, they were the minors. They did not matter in relationship with what God wanted to do with their heart. And they broke the command of God of providing for their parents in order to say, well, this is dedicated to God, and so I can't help my parents. I can't provide for them. Parents were... They looked to their children to be their resource of financial security as they grew older. They didn't have a Social Security system or a benefit program such as we have. And yet, for a tradition, they did not do what God wanted them to do.
And so whoever reviles father or mother must surely die, but you say if anyone tells his father or his mother what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.
Yeah, yeah. What? How can you justify doing something or doing nothing when God has commanded you, this is what you need to do. You need to provide. You need to love. You need to care. And they certainly failed to do that. So, and Jesus does this on purpose. You know, I know we're getting to a point where the disciples said, don't you know that you offended these Pharisees? Don't you know you did that? And Jesus knew that he was offending them. I guess he needed to, so that they would eventually say, you're right. You know, I guess that's what God does to us. He offends us. He bothers us. He upsets us. And then we say, Lord, what is the way? Where do I look? Where can I find my help and my direction?
So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They make void the word of God?
Yeah. That word hypocrite means an actor.
Hmm.
One who puts on a mask. And so they look good on the outside, and yet on the inside, it's a whole different story. And that's the greatest challenge that I believe that we have within the church. That's the greatest accusation that people who are outside the church level against those who are in the church who are Christians. That we're not true, that we're phony, that we're hypocrites. Jesus said, we can't be that. We have to be real on the outside and also on the inside. And of course, we understand that is our challenge. And that's our sin. There are times that we speak about honoring somebody, and yet we don't do it, whether it's a parent or a spouse or our kids or somebody in our neighborhood. And we always say we want to be true, not just with words, but also with lives. And Jesus confronted them, and he confronts us with the same thing. Those are straight words that he gives to us.
What of this prophecy from Isaiah? This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
Now, I know a number of times from the pulpit I have used this passage. You know, in our church, we have a set order of worship. We've memorized it. We know it. We know the creed. We know the prayers. We know the confession of sins. We know what words are coming next with the forgiveness and the absolution. And sometimes by simply rote, we're not thinking anymore. We speak the words, but sometimes our hearts or our minds are very far away from what we are saying. And so we are challenged that we don't have simply the right words, but that our hearts have been molded by God, shaped in faith in Christ, guided by his Spirit. You know, those words from Isaiah 29 are words for then, and of course when Isaiah wrote them, but also for us as well.
Pastor, looking over this first paragraph up through verse 9, anything else you'd like for us to learn today before we go on to the next section?
Well, that whole thing of matters that matter. I think of a relating verse in Matthew where Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, what do we treasure? What are the things that are most important in life? Sometimes we get it turned around. That's what he was addressing in Matthew 15. They had turned things around. And so now he is saying, how can we direct you in a new way? You know, that whole thought, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I hope, as believers in Christ, that we treasure God's word and his ways, and then we treasure the redemption that comes by Christ. Matthew, the guy that wrote this, was the one that was called, and when he was called to be a disciple of Christ, there were some that said, you know who you're calling, Jesus? This man's a sinner. And Jesus was the one that said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He was reaching out, offending in a sense, in order that people would see, turn, believe, repent, trust in all that Christ was going to do. And of course, as we know, all that he has done to pay for sin, to allow us to be his people. It is a wonderful text to say what things really matter to you.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor John Larson of Ascension Lutheran Church in Littleton, Colorado. We're in Matthew chapter 15 today, taking a look at verses 1 through 20. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open. 1-800-730-2727. You can email us, KFUO. At KFUO.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and thousands of congregations across the country as they observe Refugee Sunday, a time to celebrate the gifts migrants and refugees bring to the United States. Pick a Sunday that works best for your congregation to celebrate. New resource kits, including bulletin insert and poster, will be available soon. Sign up for our newsletter at lirs.org/rebuildinghope.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, Wooten and Penny are trying to set Connie up with someone special.
And you've already met Connie, who, by the way, looks ravishing, wouldn't you say?
But Connie has a strong reaction.
See, this is why I hate blind dates.
Meanwhile, Jason and Jana have a breakthrough in their investigation.
You have a hunch, don't you?
Don't miss the surprise-filled conclusion. Next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Pastor John Larson of Ascension Lutheran Church in Littleton, Colorado. We're in Matthew chapter 15, picking up at verse 10. And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands, that does not defile anyone." All right, so he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand." I try that with my son and it doesn't work.
Well, sometimes it didn't work even from the words of Jesus. You know, as a preacher, you always think, you know, you get up there and you got something to say. And sometimes it's not understood, and sometimes it's not listened. It's not heard. Jesus was speaking to them. He wanted to open their eyes, listen, and understand. You know, that first nine verses talking about unwashed hands, about the externals of unwashed hands. Now he enters the whole thing of the foods that go into someone's mouth. And they said, well, that is what makes a person unclean. So first of all, if you don't have your hands washed properly, you're unclean. And now in this section, it is, well, what is then going into your mouth will make you unclean. And he says that is not what makes you unclean. It's not as what goes in, or rather what comes out. And then, of course, he goes that whole section at the end about what comes out are all these evil fruits. And that's what he wants them to listen and understand.
It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of this is the mouth that defiles a person. Then the disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" The Pharisees were offended.
Yeah, they were offended many times as to who Jesus associated with, who he helped, who he allowed to come into his circle, when he helped people. If it was a day that they had designated as a day where no work could be done, and so they were offended. And Jesus, I imagine, Jesus at that point said, good. I am upsetting them. I am moving in their heart. They're asking the questions, and I want to answer those questions. You know, there were some who were of the Sanhedrin and some who were the Pharisees that became followers of Jesus. So I wonder if they were part of that group, you know, that later on you have some of the higher up, some of the important ones that became followers. Did his offending allow them to see the matter that really mattered, and that was their heart, their soul, their relationship with God, and of course, faith in Jesus?
He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up."
Well, he was going to, almost like John the Baptist here. You know, when the Baptist came, I think it's Matthew 3, he uprooted a few folks, calling them to repent and turn. And this is the same type of thought. The confrontation of God's law that will show us our amazing need of what God wants to do in us.
And let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.
When I was a kid, this was in Arizona, and the pastor that took us up to a Lutheran camp in Arizona did not have a flashlight when he needed to go and use the restroom in the middle of the night. They were working on the camp. It was not completed, and he actually fell into the latrine. I don't think he injured himself, but I'm sure he did not smell well, and he had to find his way out. If someone is blind, they lead someone in the wrong paths. We have to know who we're following. Now that's our earthly leaders as well. You know, we want to follow someone that will lead us in right ways. We find that within our churches. We look for people who are wise, who will give us good counsel, that will direct us, especially when life is troubled. But here it is. It is Christ who is the light of the world. He illuminates. They were darkened. They were blind. And Jesus, when he came, he says, "I'm the light of the world." And he even says to his followers, "You are the light of the world." So the whole contrast that he is giving between darkness and light is here. And we also see that, of course, in the Gospel of John so very clearly.
But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." Okay, explain the parable to us. We don't understand. And he said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled?" Simple human biology, physiology here.
Yeah. And thought, "Don't you understand?" Well, you know, we're gonna get to Matthew 16. I imagine you're saying the lectionary, so we're gonna be in Matthew 16 soon. And Jesus was asking the question, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And the compliments that were given, well, some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets, Jeremiah. And when he asked Peter, "Well, who do you say that I am?" It was that thought that you do not fully understand who I am yet. Now, when Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus was able to say, "This was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven." There was a dullness that Jesus was removing even from his followers as he continued to minister, as he continued to save, and even to the point of his ascension, he was still instructing, taking them away from their ignorance or their dullness.
But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.
You know, Andy, when sometimes someone does something and it's an awful thing, and we ask the question, well, where did that come from? I never saw it coming. You know, they make the wrong choice. They do something that's reprehensible, and everyone shakes their head. And Jesus says, this is what comes from deep inside. And when we read that passage, we have to say, well, where does my evil come from? Well, when I say a word that is crude or harsh or the wrong word, well, where did that come from? Or when we think a thought that is dirty or vile, where did that come from? When we listed all of those things, it comes from deep inside of us. You know, we use the term, I am by nature sinful and unclean. And that's what Jesus is saying. That is us. And that is what we need to deal with. That is what we need to turn from. I'm glad that we have a Savior who sees who we are and what we have done and yet will receive us, who will, as a term that I've used, the matters that matter. You know, he is going to do something that truly matters. That is to offer forgiveness and cleansing for all of our uncleanness.
Looking over this text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from God's word, from what Jesus teaches here?
When I read this section, and in my congregation, I preached on this a few weeks ago. I think of that account with Mary and Martha. When Jesus came to their house, and it was Martha that was so busy, he came in the door, and she busied herself. She went ahead and made sure that he had enough to drink or eat or the house was clean. And then she got so mad at her sister Mary because Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened. And she scolded Jesus. Martha scolded Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? And, of course, the wonderful words of Jesus. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. And she chose the matter that matters, and that's Christ. And we matter. That's what this is all about. We matter. You matter. I matter. Everyone in this whole world matters to Christ. That's why he came. That's why he offended them. That's why he called them. That's why he said, this is what's in the heart. And that's why he died. You know, that wonderful word in Matthew again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. For all of our uncleanness, there is cleansing. And that's through the blood of Christ. For all of our failures, there is one who has succeeded, and that's the life of Christ. So, what a wonderful text. I'm glad that we were able to speak about it today.
Amen. Thanks for being our guest today, Pastor Larson, helping us dig into Matthew chapter 15.
Well, you're very welcome.
God bless you.
And you have a wonderful day, and all those who have been part of this.
Well, thank you.
Have a gracious day.
God bless you and all the saints at Ascension Lutheran Church in Littleton, Colorado. Coming up in just a few minutes, historically speaking, with our friends from Concordia Historical Institute, you're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.